We are continuing our series this morning on everyday grace. And we're going through some disciplines, I've been thinking of them as, sort of ways that we can experience God's grace in the everyday and how we can enable His grace to be known through us, by others in the everyday. And today we're talking about hospitality. So hospitality, I hope you're all familiar with what that might mean. If you see the slide up there, there's a picture the bottom left of people around a table eating food together. I assume that's the picture that was chosen because one of the topics was hospitality. It's associated with sort of welcoming people into your home, giving them food, all that kind of thing. And it's something that the New Testament instructs us to do reasonably frequently. We'll see. Do I need to point this anywhere in particular? There we go. Whoops. We go back. Let's try again. No, all right, there we go. Okay, good. Okay, so here's just three sort of New Testament verses. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, says Paul. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it, says the writer of Hebrews. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, says Peter. So hospitality is something that the New Testament instructs us to do reasonably frequently, sort of inviting people into our lives and caring for them. But it is more than just, you know, having people in your home. It's more than just feeding them. And I want to read some verses from Matthew that, for me, I think capture the heart of what hospitality is about. So Matthew 14, 6 to 14. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a dish the head of John the Baptist." That's not it, by the way. That's just, you know, that is hospitality of a sort. But here we go. The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a dish and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Now you might be wondering where I'm going with this. There's one more slide. This is the important bit, really. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. This, I think, is a passage that captures what is at the heart of the New Testament call to be hospitable, to welcome others into your home, to feed them, all that kind of thing. It's not really about your house. It's not really about your food. It's fundamentally, hospitality is fundamentally about making other people feel comfortable around you rather than uncomfortable. That's it. That's what it really is. So if you have a bunch of people round to your house and you feed them a delicious four-course meal, that's not hospitality unless those people feel welcomed and comfortable and happy to be there. You can invite someone round to your house and you've got a wonderful house and you create delicious food, but if they're squirming, if they feel uncomfortable, if they feel out of place, that is not hospitality. Hospitality is making people feel like they belong. That is what is at the heart of hospitality. Ruth and I visited a church once, and they had this thing during the service. They said, you know, if you're new, if this is your first time, could we go back a slide? I'm going. They had this thing that if you're new in the service, you know, after the service, come out, and in our hall where everyone's getting coffee and all that kind of thing, there's a corner that we call the welcome corner. And there were some chairs there, and the idea was that if you were new in the service, you'd go and you'd sit in the welcome corner and everyone would know you're new. So we'll make a special effort to be friendly to you and make sure, okay, so Ruth and I, because we do what we're told with, you know, when you're in church, you do what you're told. And we thought, okay, well, we're new, so we'll go and sit in this welcome corner. So after the service, we went out and we sat down as instructed in these comfy chairs in the welcome corner. And we just, thank you, Beth, we just watched the rest of the church go and get their coffee and stand around talking and chatting and eating biscuits. No one came and spoke to us. Believe that? They had their welcome corner. I think someone may have eventually come over and given us a cup of coffee, or given Ruth a cup of coffee. I don't drink the stuff. And then gone off. And we were just there, sort of ostracized by ourselves in the corner of this church, in the welcome corner, watching everyone else talking and having a good time. And it did not feel good. Let me tell you, it was a really uncomfortable experience. We didn't go back to that church, I will say. So they were a church that had thought about this issue of how to make people feel welcome, how to be hospitable. And they had the system in place, but it was a hospitality fail. Because far from making us feel welcome and included, they actually made us feel excluded. Hospitality is really about how you make people feel. It's really about how you make people feel when they're with you, when they're in your home or anything like that. And here's a quote from Henri Nouwen, which some of you will have seen already, that I think captures what hospitality is. It is, here we go, we're getting it. Hospitality is the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend. Oh, you want this? It's not working. Okay, I will give you a sign when I want a new slide. Thank you, Beth. Hospitality is the creation of a free space where a stranger can enter and become a friend. I think that's a really good quote that captures what hospitality is about. As I said in the previous sermon I did in this topic on fasting, I think these disciplines of everyday grace that we're talking about are really generally about freeing us from something that imprisons us. Hospitality frees us from the tyranny of having to keep a tight hold on our space, our time, our needs, and feeling like these things are more important than anyone else's. So I've put it up there. Freedom from the demand that your needs, your time, your space are more important than anyone else's. That's what hospitality trains us to free ourselves from. This constant demand that our needs are the most important in any given situation. If we go to the next slide, please. Jesus has just heard about the death of John the Baptist, okay? He's just heard that John has died. John is his cousin. More than that, John was kind of like his greatest support. He was the first person to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. John kind of spent his life saying, getting his disciples and saying, look, Jesus is the one you want to follow. And Jesus hears that this, his friend, his family member, his advocate has died. And what does he do? He wants to withdraw and go off by himself and be alone to grieve and to mourn. I think we can understand that, right? We can understand that that is what Jesus would do. So he goes off by himself to be alone, to process this terrible news. But the crowd don't care about Jesus' needs. They don't care that Jesus has just lost a dear friend. They think, there's Jesus, he can do something for us. So they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, help us. They track him down. And Jesus in this moment has a choice about what he can do. Now Jesus could say to them, you know what, it's been a really bad day. Can you just give me some time? Can you just give me some space? Can you just leave me alone for a moment? Jesus is broken at this point. I can understand totally why he might send them away. But more than that, if Jesus, you know, if this crowd had turned up and said, Jesus, Jesus, help us. And Jesus had turned around and shouted at them and said, look, leave me alone. This is really bad timing. get away. If Jesus had done that, I would have read that and I would have said, fair enough. That's fair enough. I understand. Because that's probably how I would have reacted. You know, can't blame you for that, Jesus. But he doesn't. Here he is in a moment where he's gone deliberately to be by himself, to grieve over something terrible that's happened to him. And what does he do? He looks at this crowd and he has compassion on them and heals the sick. He puts aside his own needs, his own very natural, understandable needs, and he makes a crowd of people who have come to him in need, he makes them welcome in his life. He embraces them. That is hospitality. That is fundamentally what is at the heart of hospitality. To Jesus, these people are not an obstacle or an interruption or an intrusion that stops him from getting on with God's business. These people are God's business. These are the people whom God has brought into his life in this moment. And although he has needs, he needs space and time, he looks at them and he comes out of himself, extends compassion and heals the sick. That is hospitality. Do you know people like that? Do you know people like that? I do. I know people like, I know people in this church who I think model this really well, who are exceptionally good at having their homes and their lives open, even when they're not. People who excel at making you feel welcome and like that it's never any trouble. And that you're not intruding and you're not pestering them and you're not annoying them. And they're pleased to see you, regardless of what's going on. People who make you feel like in that moment, you are God's purpose for them. Do you know people like that? I think there are people like that in this church. And these people don't necessarily have tidy houses. These people are not necessarily excellent cooks. But they have this ability to transcend the moment and an attitude of hospitality that just draws people into their lives and makes them feel welcome. That was what Jesus was like. And that is what men and women today in this church and outside this church are like. It is not what I am like. Now, when I was preparing this on hospitality, everything I'm sharing with you this morning is stuff I have learnt from others, from people like my wife. She should get, you know, an assistant writer's credit on this sermon, I think, because if we could have the next slide, please. I have had to learn from others about opening my life, making others feel comfortable, or that they are, that I'm glad to have them around me, because I find it really difficult to be free from this need to control my time and space or to consider my needs important. I'm quite the opposite. This is a photo I found which I thought gave some insight. I'm a task-focused person. I'm the sort of person who will sit there getting on with the job while there are people around me asleep or in need. You know, that's Parker and one of my nephews there. That's the sort of person I am. I am a task-focused person. I generally, got to be said, I'm not a huge fan of people, generally. Okay. Really. I like my space. I like my time. So this whole idea of hospitality is one that I really struggle with. And I know there are other people who do it well, who have extended it to me, but I struggle with it. And when Ruth and I were in Australia, we lived in community, and I mean a physical community. It was a property. We all had our houses on this property. Could you go to the next slide? But this is a picture of our house in Australia before we moved in. This is the sort of people who were living there before us. I wanted to try and get this photo. You might be able to see the front doors, not very well, through the trees. And there are these wooden doors with these glass panes on it. And I used to sort of feel really depressed about the glass panes, because what it meant is that whenever someone came to my door, I could see them. I could see them when they were at my door. And when you live in community, a physical community, and when you occupy a fairly central place in that community, as most of the families did, you just had to get used to people coming to your door whenever they felt like it. And because of the role I had in that community, 99% of the time when people came to my door, it's because they wanted something from me. They needed something from me. People didn't just drop around to say, hey, James, I just thought I'd drop around to tell you how awesome you are. That did not happen. They would drop around because they had a question or they wanted to hand in some work or they needed me to do something. Or it was, and I struggled with this. I really struggled with this. I know my sort of boundaries and my limits, my strengths and weaknesses. I know that I need sort of my own space, my own time. I need to manage my time. That's all fine. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about those moments when people would turn up unexpected and I had a choice how to respond. In this moment, was this person God's purpose for me, or were they an intrusion, an interruption? Someone who was an obstacle to me getting what I want. And I struggled with this. I'd hear the door knock and my heart would sink. I didn't feel welcoming. I didn't feel happy to see people. I just wanted to be left alone to get on with whatever super important thing I was doing. But this verse here. Never read the Bible. Generally, no, I can't really say that from the pulpit, can I? But I suppose what I can say is if you like your life the way it is and you don't want to change, put the Bible on your shelf. But unfortunately, I made the rookie mistake of reading my Bible. And I read this passage in Matthew and it really got me. It really got me because, as I said, I would understand totally if Jesus had turned around and said, go away. How selfish of you. I've just had some terrible news and you're coming to me with all your needs. I could have understood this, but Jesus didn't do that. He had compassion on them and healed the sick. And it was one of those verses that gets inside my head and wouldn't leave me alone. And I thought, what am I going to do about this, God? I know that my attitude is not good enough. I know that, you know, you're challenging me on this. So what should I do about this? So I came up with an idea. I made a decision. It wasn't a big thing because we're talking about everyday grace. So I want you to understand, I'm talking about things that make a part of the everyday. So what did I decide to do? It was this, very simple. I decided to smile. Regardless of whether I felt happy to see them or not, I decided I was going to smile when I saw this person at my door. Whoever it was, whatever they wanted, that's what I was going to do. Even though inside I was thinking, oh, I hate you right now. My face was going to say something different. It was going to say, I am pleased to see you, regardless of what was going on. I would make the choice to smile in order to extend hospitality, even though I didn't feel like it, to try and put to death in me this thing that demanded that people only came and saw me when it suited me. And it had nothing to do with the quality of my cooking or anything like that. You know, I don't drink coffee, as I said. So if you come and visit me, I hope you like water. I don't even know how to work the machine. This was about making people feel comfortable around me. Although I didn't feel happy, I would make the choice to be happy. You see, here's a little secret, an important secret. If the gospel is true, if the gospel is true and I really am a new creation, I really am a child of God, if that's who I really am, then it's the feelings of grumpiness and selfishness that don't belong in me. They're not the real me. That's part of my sinful nature, just trying to take back control from what God has already done. And so by smiling, I'm not sort of being deceitful or anything like that. All I'm doing is I'm making a choice to live in accordance with who I really am, a child of God. And if I do that often enough, then the rest of me will get the memo. Those sinful, sort of the sinful nature in me that demands I have my own way will begin to say, he's not going along with this. And the voice will get quieter and quieter. It may take a long time, but I really believe that that's what happens. Sometimes I hear Christians say things like we have negative character traits or sort of things that don't quite work out for us. And we just say, oh, well, that's just who I am. That's not true. You are a child of God. That's who you are. Don't live like it. Let that be your defining characteristic, not the grumpiness, the selfishness, or anything like that. So the real me, the me who God made me to be, the me who I am in Christ, the me that is a new creation, is the one who wants to and strives to be like Jesus, who has compassion on those who intrude in his life and heals the sick, extends hospitality. And me smiling is me just making that choice to be who God has made me to be. And the rest of me just hasn't caught up yet. But it will. And you can hold me to that. You know, you come turn up at my house at midnight, knock on the door. If I don't smile, you can slap me. I'll give you permission to do that. See, the truth is that hospitality is about openness to others. Is a wonderful quote I stumbled upon here. The heart of hospitality is when people leave you your home, they should feel better about themselves, not better about you. I think that's fantastic, because sometimes, you know, we worry so much about being good hosts that what we're really trying to do is make people come away and say, wow, they were amazing home, amazing cook, amazing family. No, they should leave feeling better about themselves, not about you. Because the truth is that hospitality is about this openness to others. It's about making people feel better, about making people feel comfortable, about putting aside that part of you that says, well, what about my needs in this moment? And welcoming others into a space where, as Omri Nguyen said, they can be changed from strangers into friends. And people who do this well, I think sometimes people who do this well don't give themselves enough credit. They think, oh, it's, you know, I just like people, or it's just, you know, it's not doing, I'm not doing anything special or amazing. And they may look at, you know, idiots like me and think, well, they do the important stuff. Well, what we need to understand is that I think there are few disciplines, few habits that actually open us up to becoming like Christ more than hospitality. Because God's heart is hospitality. God's heart is openness. God's heart is about welcoming people. Let's look at that Nguyen quote again. Great explanation of hospitality, but you know what is? What else it is? It's also, I think, a fantastic explanation of what the gospel is. Because this is precisely what God does. He creates a space where the stranger, not just the stranger, where the enemy of God can enter and become a friend. And this is what I'm trying to say to you this morning, that hospitality is not, you know, just something we do. Hospitality is actually the gospel. It's the whole gospel. It's what God does for each of us. Opens up his life to us, welcomes us in, makes us feel better about who we are and what we're doing with our lives. And I think so many people in the past have laid hold of this truth. Next picture here is a picture icon of the Trinity by a guy called Rublev, and this is his idea of the Trinity. The Trinity sitting round a table, sharing a meal together, inviting us to become a part of that meal. A guy called Robert Stamps in 1972 wrote a song that I have never heard sung in any church in the UK, called God and Man at Table Are Sat Down. Because his idea of the gospel was that God and man sit down and eat together. That's the gospel, hospitality. Jesus himself, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Hospitality is not, you know, a part of something we should do. It is the gospel. It's what God does for each and every one of us. And when you understand this, you can understand how Jesus, the image of the invisible God, is able to lift his head from his grief, see a group of needy people in that moment, and have compassion on them and invite them into his life. Hospitality is, I think, the best model of the gospel that we have here right now. If you want to explain the gospel to someone, invite them into your life. It's that simple. And don't say, well, you know, I'm not a very good cook, my house is a mess, I'm not organized, because that's not what hospitality is. I hope you've got that by now. And if you're good at doing this, if you're someone who's good at opening your life up to others, don't think, oh, it's just, you know, it's not a very important thing, it doesn't really matter much. It is a big thing, because it's being like Jesus. And it's a way in which those of us who struggle to do this can look at you and learn about how we might do it better. And when it comes to this everyday grace, because it really is an everyday thing, just think of the little ways you can extend hospitality to others, how you can make others feel welcome in your presence, not like they're intruding or bothering you. Just little ways. When you're out and about, the ways in which you can, you know, it could be as simple as just saying hello to people. A man, quite an influential man on me called Pete Rolkowski, just talked about being a cheerful event in someone's day. It's that simple. When you meet random people in the street, you have the ability to be a cheerful event in their day. And in doing so, extend hospitality. And in doing so, model God and the gospel to them. Small things, everyday things. But you know, small things, everyday things add up to a big gospel. And hospitality is not just a part of that. It is the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the fact that you do open your life to us. You invite us into your lives. We often, I think sometimes as Christians, we often talk about us asking you into our lives, but it's the other way around. You invite us into your life. Thank you for that. And I pray that in the same way, we will invite others into our lives. We will extend hospitality in small ways, in big ways. Father, there are those here who just do this well. I'm thankful for them, Lord, and I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, that long will they continue to do this. And I pray, Lord, that they will be encouraged by the way they do it. They will be infused. They will understand that it is an important and beautiful thing. And Father, the rest of us, people like me, who really struggle with this, Father, I pray that we may continually be reminding ourselves of Jesus, who had compassion on the crowd and healed their sick. We might be continually reminding ourselves that you are all about people. People are not obstacles or intrusions. People are your business. And Father, I pray that each of us here will enjoy a renewed sense that you have sat down at a table with us and share a meal with us, and that we are a part of your life now. Amen.